This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Happy Friday to you. We've got football to talk about. Last night's Thursday night game, the Detroit Lions beating the Kansas City Chiefs 21-20. I just got one thing to say. What in the world was that? What was that? Oh, yuck. But still football. Still great to have it back. But, man, we got a lot to dissect. Because when you lose your number two player and your number three player, it's going to be an uphill climb. I don't care if you're the defending Super Bowl champs. I don't care if you have Patrick Mahomes. I don't care if you're at home and you're raising a banner and everyone's thrilled and excited. You're going to miss those guys. Travis Kelce is a security blanket. Travis Kelce gets open. Travis Kelce catches the football. And Chris Jones is one of the more ferocious defensive players that we have in the NFL. They are the second and third best players on this team. And they were going up against a Lions team that was very good. They got better than last year's 9-8 football team. So we knew going into this game that there could be something here. And there was. Kansas City and Detroit, it was one of those games that nobody got a hold of, nobody grabbed, nobody controlled. It was just a game where it was tight pretty much all the way through. But you can point to over and over and over again some of the mistakes that were made in this football game. And I know, look, in the end, here's the deal. Is this going to affect Kansas City down the road? No. If they get Chris Jones back and they get Travis Kelce back, they're going to be formidable, right? This isn't an opening for AFC teams. But I will say the same thing I said about the Cincinnati Bengals when we previewed Cincinnati. If you get off to a slow start, if you struggle a little bit early, even when you get your ducks in a row, and even when things start clicking, and even with you start putting off win after win after win, in the end, if you're going up against elite teams in your conference, you're going to go on the road in the playoffs. And that's something. That may not be everything, but it's something. That's affected Cincinnati. They have played on the road. They had to go to Buffalo. They had to go to Kansas City last year. And you'd like to have some of the more meaningful games at home, not just an opening round game at home. And I think that's what you can take away from this game. Because they're going to be fine when Travis Kelce and Chris Jones come back. If Chris Jones does work out a contract with the Chiefs, and oh, by the way, Melissa Stark said they are far behind on that. But you think it would start to get escalated after last night's game. And then, of course, Travis Kelce is going to come back as soon as he possibly can, whenever that may be. And boy, do they need him. It didn't look like a problem early because Mahomes was finding his receivers fine and they were catching the football fine. You know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a beautiful catch down the field that set up a touchdown. And then he threw some beautiful touchdown passes. But boy, when they needed to convert third downs late, there was nobody around. It was like he was throwing a ball of lava. Nobody wanted to touch it, including Kadarius Toney, who had a terrible game. And it's sad, too, because he did so well in the Super Bowl. But Giant fans, I know, are gleeful at the fact that Kadarius Toney had a terrible game because they know what terrible games with Kadarius Toney is all about.
It was amazing.
It's incredible how he dropped those passes.
I mean, just absolutely. Like, I was in awe. And there was one thing that kept going through my mind over and over and over again. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Tony has done it again.
Yeah, over and over and over and over. Over and over.
I mean, that last one was incredible.
He's wide open. He is wide open, and he's 20. He's got two or three steps ahead of his defender. So he's going to catch it and score.
Yeah.
Like, there's really a safety back there that he probably could beat on an angle.
Yep.
But that's it. The defender who's covering him is two to three steps behind him. It's third down and 20. He catches it. He runs it into the end zone.
I know Mahomes was sitting there going, Tyreek would have caught that.
Yeah, I know.
Tyreek would have scored a touchdown.
Yep, exactly.
It would have been simple for Tyreek.
So
you, sir, are no Tyreek.
Congratulations to the Lions. But what a good win for the Lions.
It really was. You know, I mean, before the show, you and I were talking, and you were absolutely right. I mean, between the first drive and the last drive, they had no drives.
There was nothing there offensively. They had nothing, but they ran the ball.
But the bookend was great. Well.
The bookend was great. They went, their first drive of the game
So not the first drive of the game, the second drive of the game is when they had the fake punt, and they what a gutsy call, by the way, inside their own 20 against Kansas City. That is literally Dan Campbell saying to his team, listen, guys, we're going to do everything we have to do to win this game. We're not afraid of the moment. You know what?
No,
it's early. If we don't get it and Kansas City scores, we'll just score right back. That is a confidence that you are going to stay in a game with the Chiefs.
In fact, it's almost Brandon Staley of him to do
very
something.
Much so.
Difference would have been Staley would not have done a fake punt. Would have said, well, we're just going to go for it.
So they go 14 plays, 91 yards. Amon-Ra St. Brown gets a touchdown. And all of a sudden, you're like, it's 7-0, right? They just showed guts. They went for it on fourth down. They got the fourth down. Dan and Jared Goff is throwing, and they're running the ball. Jahmyr Gibbs was great last night in his rookie debut. He was great. Then they stalled. Then their offense went nowhere. And Kansas City came back with two touchdowns in the second quarter, had a 14-7 lead, but there was still no control. The Chiefs weren't blowing them out. It was still a game. And then it became a more interesting game when Kadarius Toney had a ball in his hands and then whoops, oh, pops up in the air, and Brian Branch returns it 50 yards for a touchdown. The rookie returns it for a touchdown.
Yeah, welcome to the NFL.
Welcome to the NFL, because you can sometimes get these things off thrown up footballs that bounce off your hands. So
see, that's the moment. I don't think I would have put it past Branch if he had dropped it.
Yeah, right.
Because
it would have
like,
been shocked.
Because all he would have been thinking is like, I'm going to score a touchdown before he even caught the ball. Because there was nothing in front of him.
Nothing
he
in
knew
front of him.
That all, if I, you know, as long as I haul this in, I'm going to get an NFL, a real NFL touchdown.
And I thought that there were two things that I thought were really key for the Lions was their defense did not break, holding the Chiefs to two field goals with good drives. I mean, Kansas City was moving the ball down the field, and they held them to two field goals, and that was good enough to set up the Lions' second offensive drive for a touchdown that went 75 yards. So basically, you're right, they get bookend touchdowns in a game. First quarter, fourth quarter, nothing in the middle offensively, but their defense played well enough. Right, the defense held Kansas City when it needed to hold Kansas City. And by the way, Kansas City helped themselves on third down drops. So, and of course, they picked up the turnover for the touchdown.
What did you say, 0-7? Like they didn't make a third down reception in the second
half?
Right.
I mean, that's right.
It's amazing.
And it wasn't just Kadarius Toney. There was another drop earlier, too. They dropped four passes, and Kadarius Toney had the ball hit his hands that went for a touchdown for the Lions. So that's five circumstances where Mahomes put the ball in a pretty good spot, and the receivers just went, whoops, sorry. I'm sorry about that. I drop it. Unbelievable.
But, God, that one, I think it was on their final drive, right? Was it the final drive?
The second to final drive. Their last one was 4th and 25.
Yeah.
They almost got, by the way.
But the one that Kadarius Toney, the ball's right in his hand. I mean, I'm replaying that one in my head, just going, God, when it's not your night.
The game would have changed. I mean, think about that. Game would have changed. They would have scored. Lions would have been forced to do something in the final couple minutes of the game.
But that needs to be like a poster, when it's not your night.
But absolutely.
I mean,
Malise.
Wow.
Unreal. Unreal. Like, here's the thing, right? If you grabbed me out of this chair and took me to a construction site and said, build a house, I'd say, I have no knowledge of how to build a house.
Yeah.
I can't build a road. I don't know how to engineer water pipes. I don't know how to paint. Okay, but an NFL wide receiver is paid to catch footballs that are thrown to him perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Late in the game. Once I get. All right, every now and then, even Jerry Rice dropped a pass.
Oh, of course.
All right,
no one is perfect.
But consistently, late in the game?
No, look at the box score.
He can't hold on to the football? You got to be kidding me.
Kadarius Toney finished the night with one reception, 1 yard.
I mean, for the love
of
Pete. How many times was he targeted?
Five times. And I was surprised.
When Patrick Mahomes is throwing you a football... chances are it's in your hands.
I was surprised Mahomes kept going to him.
Right?
If I'm the Lions, I'd be like, hey, you know, if I'm the Lions secondary coach, I'd say, hey, guys, give him like a yard or two step so Mahomes does throw it to him.
Unbelievable.
Because this guy can't catch a cold right now.
Mahomes was so great to the media after the game, right? So great. Didn't bury anybody. Talked about, hey, listen, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, but where's
it's on
the
me. But you know,
where's the camera in the
locker
room?
That's what I want to know. What I want to know is the time you don't see when he's driving home with Brittany and he goes, if Kadarius Toney, I swear to God, I will bury that man. I will put him in a place no one will find him. We're talking about my legacy here. I'm building a dynasty. I need people who can catch footballs. I'm not messing around here. That guy drops another pass, you will be looking for him.
I want to know, what was the conversation he had with Kelsey when the two of them are back home? Right? Kelsey's in his house. You know, Mahomes is in his castle. You know, they're just sitting there. And, you know, just like, hey, Kels, what can we do to him? I'm sure Travis has some ideas.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. Unreal. But
the other problem with this offense, though, I don't think Travis Kelsey makes all that big of a difference, but the Chiefs really didn't have a running game. And I'll give it to the Lions front four for shutting that down, but, you know, who's Pacheco their main running back?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes was their leading rusher last night.
Yeah.
That's not establishing any sort of running game.
No, yeah, it's not what you want.
Yeah, again, but the Lions' defensive front is pretty good.
And was it,
you know,
Clyde's Edwards-Hilaire?
Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, yeah.
Hilaire. Wasn't he a good running back? What happened?
Yeah, he wasn't a bad running back, yeah.
What happened?
Good. Yeah, he was out of LSU, I think.
I know, but I mean, he was good for the Chiefs.
Yeah, he was good for the Chiefs.
But, I mean, he just non-existent.
I don't know. We'll get to more about this game. We also got some news out of the NFL as well, as we got a new highest paid player in the NFL. Surprise, surprise. We got that for you. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We are now underway. Week one in the NFL. It's way.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue with Wake Up Call, SportsNap Radio. 21-20, the Lions win. You know, Melissa Stark asked Dan Campbell last night, what does this win mean for the team, and what does it mean for the city of Detroit? And all Campbell had to say, and I thought it was the right answer, we're 1-0, right? Like, we're 1-0. Let's not make it larger than what it is.
Yeah.
And let's not make it small, but let's not make it huge. This isn't a great win for the city of Detroit. This isn't some, like, let's just keep it in perspective.
It doesn't
mean
this
was one of 17 games on our schedule.
Yeah, it doesn't mean lock them into the Super Bowl now.
Right,
they're Super Bowl contenders.
They are.
No, they're 1-0. I thought it was a good answer too. They're
1-0. It was a really good answer. He could have waxed poetically about all the Lion teams. But he didn't. He just said, it's a game on our schedule. We won it. Now we're 1-0.
What was because the other one that he said? There was one where it was like, you know, it's like, what did you learn from tonight? And he was like, nothing.
Nothing. It was like, I already knew that.
Yeah, I already knew that.
Yeah.
And which I thought was another good thing. It's like, yeah, you know what team you have. And I just, yeah, that's why he's our favorite coach, people.
This is a thing that he knows. Like, and most coaches get this. For every time you go to a place like Arrowhead and beat the defending Super Bowl champions, you lose at home to a team with two wins.
Yep.
Like that happens in
late
this
in the season.
Right, late in the season. Late in the season when you need it the most. That's what happens in this league, right? Is that for every good win you get, you have a terrible loss somewhere in your schedule. If you're around 10-7, I guarantee you I can go through those seven losses and go, "What the hell happened here?" And I can go through your 10 wins and find one or two in which you kind of shocked everybody with a good road victory against a very, very good football team. Yes, the Chiefs were down Chris Jones and they were down Travis Kelce. I don't care. He's right. It's 1-0. It does not matter. It doesn't. This isn't college football. There's no committee that's going to judge this win as, well,
right,
the Chiefs were down Kelce and Jones. This does not matter. They are now 1-0 to start the season, and
I'll
say
it out loud
that they stayed in a game with Patrick Mahomes.
I'll say it out loud. You know, we'll come out with our top five, bottom five, our power rankings, if you will, on Tuesday. I don't know if they're in the top five.
Right? Who knows?
You know, I mean, that's what this win is. It's like, hey, you know what? It's 1-0.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Yeah, that's right. So there you go.
But I was so happy to have it back.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
It was. I mean, it's just a different feeling.
I was yelling at the TV, and I think my wife was like, "Oh God, I got this until February." January.
Wait, what?
Yeah, wait a minute. So quiet.
November, October. How many months is this? Let me count.
It's funny. We were actually, my wife and I were actually having a conversation about something. My son in college or something. And every now and then I'd go, oh, that's six. Oh, no, he's not. He got him. Oh, yeah, like little things like that. And throughout the game, she's like, oh, I only have like 60% of your attention.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, I know. It's going to be bad. But, you know, last night, I was telling you before the show, I know people are going to be like, wow, but I was really upset with the mistakes. I was really upset with the Juwan Taylor constantly being false starting in the game and nobody calling it all game long. The dropped passes drove me crazy. But I think the other thing that drove me crazy was I think Aiden Hutchinson is a great player. I didn't need to mic up the parents thing. That I thought that was silly. I think they need to stop that. You know what? I'm not kidding. If you're NBC, here's my advice, NBC, and you don't need it because you're NBC, but what the hell? You're dealing with a public that's very, very sensitive, okay? And we're talking about sports fans, and they're even more sensitive, okay? They're like teenage girls. I'm going to be honest with you. Fans are like teenage girls, okay? If you're a broadcaster and you're trying to do a neutral game and you say something positive about anybody, fans on the other side go, clearly he hates us. Clearly he hates our city. Clearly he hates our team. And he will disrespect us all season long. Like, they're that sensitive. You don't need to, if you didn't mic up anybody else's parents, if you didn't mic up Patrick Mahomes' wife, if you didn't mic up anyone else, you shouldn't have mic'd up Aiden Hutchinson's parents. What did they offer? They're cheering their son. Big deal. So his dad played at Michigan. I couldn't care less. So his mom's nervous. Every mom is nervous. This isn't the Kelsey. This isn't Donna Kelsey, where she has two kids in the Super Bowl. This is one player on one team, and you mic'd up their parents. Don't do that. Just cancel that the rest of the way. Don't look for the fun little parental angle. It's worthless. It provides nothing. And to be honest with you, if I was a father of an NFL player, I wouldn't want a microphone. I'm probably likely to say things, and I don't know what you're using and not using.
I was hoping that they'd boo him.
Yeah.
Boo their son.
Right.
Tell him, you know, hey, you suck. Get off the field.
By the way, I really do want to know, there is a curious thing of me that really wants to know why his dad calls him Hutch. Why does his dad call him Hutch?
Nickname?
The nickname of the family last name that everybody has?
Maybe.
Like,
I don't know.
Do you call your son Culve?
Culve? No.
Yeah. Do you know any father that calls their son by their last name? The nickname of their last name?
Well, was his father his coach?
I don't know.
Is his father a coach?
I'm just curious.
That's a great point.
I'm not mad about it, but it's like, I was just curious because I've never heard, like, okay, listen, I'm Tony. My wife calls me Tony. I call my parents. They've never called me Tony in the history of my life. Not one. They never even slipped up. Every time I call them, I pick up the phone. Anthony, how you doing?
Yeah.
They've never, ever called me Tony in my life.
I get that from my
cousin. Let alone my last name.
No, the last
like
name,
my dad. I've never been
to
the phone.
My
dad
goes, trouble.
"Hey, Dez, how you doing?" Like, I've never, like, yeah, seriously, like,
can I start doing that though? Can I just start, Dez?
No, you can call me whatever you want. Like, friends can call you Hutch. Friends can call, like, your coach can call you Hutch, but your father, who has the same last name as you, he calls you Hutch. Unless he's doing it to market Hutch, knowing he was mic'd up.
You know, and that's not a bad idea.
Is that
either
an angle?
That's not a bad idea.
If I'm going to call my son Hutch, because we've got Hutch Sports Incorporated, we've got gear, we sell protein powder, or we sell whatever.
Okay, stop. You're doing it again,
training material.
Man. You're doing it again. You're
giving him a good idea.
You're giving. I mean, now you know, they just made $500 million.
So he's
just now.
So here's what he did before. He told his family they were mic'd up. He said, "All right, we know. Obviously, we call him Aiden. You know, Aiden. We call him Aiden. Maybe call him Aid. But tonight we call him Hutch because we're going to promote Hutch football."
Yeah.
Right? Hutch football products. Training aids, sports drinks.
Thank God mom didn't do it, because then the gig would have been up.
Yeah, right. If the mom did it, forget it. Forget
like,
it.
Oh, no, now you're just messing with us.
Oh, let me just make this very clear. If there was one parental figure in my house that may have slipped up and called me Tony, it would probably be my dad. It's never going to be my mother.
Right.
Never. My mother will never do it.
Had your name for you since you were a minute old.
Exactly. So that's it. My wife calls my son Christopher all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. So, but Hutch, I thought that was kind of neat. But I didn't come away with last night's game. I'm just glad football's here, but I didn't come away thinking both teams were really polished, and that's not expected week one.
And, you know, that was another thing you and I were talking about before the show too, is that, you know, was last night's game an advocate for, hey, you guys are, these guys need to play more preseason?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, I don't see it happening, though.
I expect rust on Sunday. Look, I'm not dumb.
Oh, yeah.
I know that there's going to be players that are going to struggle. It just was, if you woke up and just saw 21-20 and thought this was a clash of titans, this was more of minimizing some mistakes from both teams. Like, again, the Lions offense wasn't very good for a good chunk of the game.
Yeah, and I'm not giving the credit to the Lions defense or the Chiefs defense for being so great.
Right.
Against the Lions offense. It was more Lions offense just being out of sync.
And the other thing too is that the Lions, knowing Chris Jones was not there, did run the ball a lot, and that really showcased Jahmyr Gibbs, who I thought had a really great rookie performance, but they rushed for over 100 yards as a team. So that was a great strategical element to their offense. But outside of the two drives in the first and the fourth, they didn't really do anything. Right? They didn't really have a lot to show for that. But nevertheless, again, as Dan Campbell said, it is a win. They are 1-0. But I do think both teams, you know, look, the Lions are obviously okay because they won, but I think the Chiefs will be fine. I just worry, again, if you're the Chiefs and you know the AFC is loaded, you want the AFC title game at Arrowhead. Right, you want to go on the road as little as possible, and if you lose a few more of these games, which you are going to, you're if you get off to a slow start, if Kelsey's out for a couple of weeks with this knee injury, and Jones says I won't hold out until week 8, I'll get my credit for the season, then the Chiefs could be in trouble. They really could. Like, they could be struggling to be one of the top teams. All right, we're going to talk Joe Burrow's contract next, and we got another story on college athletics. Mack Brown goes off on the NCAA. We got that for you as well coming up this hour.
This is Wake Up Call, SportsNet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Philip on Twitter, the Bengals are petty for that, waiting till the Chiefs came to start, then showing up like, oh, by the way, we did a thing. Yeah, making Joe Burrow the highest paid NFL player, getting him a huge contract last night. $221 million guaranteed, $275 million over 5 years, $55 million a year Joe Burrow will get playing in the NFL. Good for him. By the way, I do want to make something clear in case I was misconstrued in my last segment on the Hutch nickname. I have no problems with the nickname. I have no problems with anybody using it. I just thought it always odd that his father would call him that. That usually parents, maybe you're different, usually parents don't call their kids by a contrived version of their shared last name.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Oh, last name nicknames happen all the time, and they're very common. They're not weird at all. They're not strange.
No, and Hutch is a good one.
It happens all the time. And to be honest with you, I would expect his teammates to call him Hutch. I expect his coach to call him Hutch, right? I just found it weird when his father's like, yeah, Hutch. I'm like, that's not something I see parents do. I just don't see parents call their kids by a version of the last name.
What it makes me wonder is at one point, did you ever get called that, Dad? Was he ever called Hutch, and then it was like, oh, that's a good nickname. I'll say that for my son. No, I'm just saying that, like, it sounds weird. It almost sounds almost like you're talking to a third person.
Right, exactly. So I just want to make that clear. I don't have a problem with the nickname. It's an easy nickname. It's
like Ricky Henderson likes it.
Yeah, Ricky, exactly.
Ricky's a big fan of that.
All right. So again, yesterday, Joe Burrow, $275 million. Ryan gets the extension.
Boy, worth it?
Well, yeah, because he's the best quarterback. You know what I mean? He's the best quarterback up for a contract. You know what I mean? I mean, this is what happens.
I mean, I said it yesterday because we knew that this day was going to be coming. I mean, you can see the writing on the wall. He's been the best Bengals quarterback since, you know, the last, what, 20 years?
He's been one of the best. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, I'm just looking slowly at the Bengals because he's done something Bengals quarterbacks haven't been able to do since Boomer Esiason. That was win playoff games.
But again, what do we always say about contracts? Yeah. They don't pay you for what you did. They pay you for what you're going to do.
Yeah, and
they want to lock you
and
in.
And now look, I'm worried because I had them going to the Super Bowl.
If you are the Bengals, this is what this is any team. There will be another quarterback that is coming along that will get a higher deal than this. This is what's going to happen until the NFL figures out a way, like, what exactly are we doing here? Because you get a quarterback, they do great, you know they're great, and if they are one of the top quarterbacks in the league, they're going to go, well, I want the highest paid deal. Now, what's great about the Giants is the Giants didn't make Daniel Jones the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Like, Daniel Jones struggled, and then got them to the playoffs. They were 9-7-1. He didn't warrant a $55 million contract or a $52 million contract, whatever the number was at the time. He got 40, okay? That's $15 million a year less than Joe Burrow. That's a lot. But if you have a quarterback that took you to the Super Bowl within his rookie contract, goes to the playoffs all the time, and you're going to lock that guy up, you're going to go, what's the number? We're going to make him the number, the new number. So, yeah, I'm just wondering when are we going to hit 70? Like in my lifetime is a quarterback going to make $75 million a year?
Yeah, it'll happen.
I almost want to say
in the next 5 to 10 years it will.
That would be 10 years maybe. 20 million is a big increase.
Yeah, but
who's up for a major contract soon? Who's the next quarterback that is going to be the highest paid quarterback in the league? Like, look around the league right now. Is it going to be Kenny Pickett? Nope. Who's it going to be?
That's a good question. Tua got paid, right?
Tua's going to get paid, but he's not going to get that much. No.
You know, I mean, Burrow's up
but
there.
But look around the league. I mean, Allen got paid. Dak is up for a contract, but he's not going to get $55 million a year.
Nah.
Right? Jalen Hurts got paid.
He might get cut if they don't
Lamar
make the playoffs.
Lamar got paid. Joe Burrow's now paid, right? Herbert. Kenny Pickett's not going to get it. Is Justin Fields going to get it? Well, he's going to have to.
Trevor?
He's going to have to. Maybe.
Trevor could get it.
Trevor could get it.
Depends on what he does this year, right?
Yeah. But, you know, we'll wait and see on Bryce Young. We'll wait and see on Stroud. We'll wait and see on that. But other than that,
if the Niners make the Super Bowl, Brock Purdy will just be happy with a 5-year deal.
Brock Purdy could be
that guy. He's not going to care the amount. No, Brock Purdy's not going to get that amount. But he'll just be like, 5-year deal? Yeah, I'll sign right here.
Right. so again... So these things come in longer stages. It doesn't pop every year, but you just popped because you had four deals, right? Four deals this offseason that escalated on top of each other.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, and now Joe Burrow. So you had this wave of really good franchise quarterbacks come in at the time. Now that may happen down the road with Richardson, Stroud, and Young. Probably not all three. One of them's bound to burn out in this league, right? That's just what they do.
Imagine if they end up like it was the class of 2018. I mean, other than Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen made it. But when you look at the first two picks, Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah, they're done. They're just going to bounce around.
You know, Josh Rosen's already out of the league. I mean, there were five quarterbacks taken in the round. Three of them are... pretty much looking backwards now, seeing the end of their career.
Maybe 10 years from now, we'll reach $75 million a year. We'll see.
Here's an interesting one for you. And I don't think he's going to get that much, but could Jared Goff move up the ladder?
He can move up the ladder, but he won't be the highest paid player in the league. Because I think a combination has to happen where there is... There's got to be a couple of factors, and I think the number one factor is it's usually the first contract, because you're going to pay a guy, you're going to get a guy a 5-year contract extension off of his rookie deal. Well, Goff has already been in the league a while, and so if he's going to get a new contract, he could get a 5-year deal, but that's going to put him close to like 37 or so when he's done. How old's Goff now? 29?
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
along those lines. I gotta look that up. But whatever his contract's over with, if you're looking at a 5-year contract, they're not built like baseball contracts where you,
no, I
you
know.
Load
I was
it gonna, up on
I was just thinking too, it's like Goff maybe peaking this year. And then when that decline happens, he looks like yeah. the kind of guy that's going to have that rapid, steep decline.
And don't get me wrong. He can get a contract that pays him a lot of money. He's 28. So when his contract's up and he's pushing 30, and you're not going to give him $60 million a year. So what I'm looking for is who's the guy that's going to beat Burrow.
Right.
And it's probably Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I can see.
Right?
I mean,
because rookie deal, extension. If Lawrence gets him to the playoffs again, that would be another one to go, okay, that's the guy.
If he gets him to a Super Bowl,
yeah.
he'll probably
But if you're if you've been in the league a while, you're gonna make good money, but you're not gonna make $55 million a year.
Yeah, so I think you're right. I think it might be one of the next big one you gotta hope will be one of the three that got chosen this year.
Yeah. Right.
Whether it's Richardson, Young, or Stroud.
Yeah. So
maybe Desmond Ridder.
Maybe Desmond Ridder. Maybe yeah. Desmond Ridder will shock
Probably
us all.
Not.
Probably not. Probably not. So we shall see. But no, that was a good little bit of news.
Yeah, that was a good little news dump. Yeah,
good old Joe Burrow. $55 million now yeah. engaged. They can sell a lot of those 9-cent shots now.
Oh,
in
man.
Cincinnati. Like they all had chances. I want to give props to Rich Eisen. Had a great tweet last night. Said the Lions dropped the curtain on Aaron Rodgers' career in Green Bay and then ruined the Chiefs' banner-raising night by handing Patrick Mahomes' first season opening loss of his life in back-to-back games. That's awesome for the Lions.
Yeah.
Good for Detroit. Feel really good about this team, Detroit. Really good.
No, yeah. that, I think that was the most important takeaway I had from this game.
Right.
Was, you know, it's like we had the Lions playing well. We had them doing well. And you know, yeah, the game was ugly. It didn't look good at times. It looked, like you said earlier in the show, unpolished, unfinished. But, you know, they're coming away with the win against the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
And albeit, you know, I guess, you know, I saw someone said you can put an asterisk next to this game. It's like, yeah, okay, but
no, because the asterisk has no meaning.
Yeah. I mean,
it has no value. Look, I hate when people use that term because an asterisk is supposed to determine a differential of something like the thought that if you play X amount of games versus somebody who played X amount of games, there should be a denotation that indicates that something was unique about this mark than
right.
that mark. You mean to tell me I got to go through the record books and put asterisks next to every team that beat another team because the other team was injured?
Or
I got to do that now? I got to devalue every NFL game in the history of the league because a key player was hurt? That's what we're doing now?
No, like I said
that
earlier.
That person was stupid. That person is stupid. That's a dumb thing to say. That is stupid. To say that the Lions needs an asterisk because Travis Kelce didn't play. Well, I can go through my lifetime and find a million games where a key player was out, and it doesn't affect the playoffs or standings or Super Bowl or anything. I wish people would stop that. Stop finding little nuggets. The Lions won a game where the Chiefs were down two players. That's on the Chiefs. That's not on the Lions. That's on the Chiefs for practicing Tuesday with Travis Kelce, and that's on the Chiefs for not dealing with Chris Jones the way they should have.
Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
I'm going to tell you something, Ron Culver. I'm riding this Joe Burrow, Robert Johnson analogy to the finish line. I'm
all right,
riding
Desi.
It all the way to the end, okay? Because yesterday when the announcement came out that Joe Burrow is now the highest paid player in the NFL, another person on social media pointed out that he had sent a message when he was 13 or 14 years old. Maybe even younger. No, I think it was 2013. I'm sorry. Not he was 13. 2013. That he had sent a note to a recruiting scout asking him, is there any camps I should be going to? I am not getting noticed by anybody. Like, this is... Here is an amazing story about going from nobody to instantly famous as quickly as humanly possible.
To having a bar have 9 cent shots.
Right.
Because you got engaged.
Exactly. Like, literally what, like, I can't get noticed in high school. No one's paying attention to me. How do I get recruited? I feel like I'm doing well. I feel like I'm good. Am I going to the wrong camps? Am I not talking to the right people? And then he's like, goes to Ohio State and they don't need him. And, oh, okay. He goes to LSU. Next thing you know, boom. Joe Burrow, in a blink of an eye, is national champion, Heisman Trophy, Super Bowl participant, number one overall pick in the draft, not in that order, highest paid player in the NFL. When did Joe Burrow burst onto the scene? 2019. Now, he played in 2018, but, you know, he's okay. He's good. But he wasn't Joe Burrow. He wasn't Burrow Mania. That was 2019. That was a blink ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was a blink ago.
I mean, you can still see him sitting in the locker room smoking a cigar.
That's right.
Getting in trouble for that.
That's right. I mean, wow. It's remarkable. He's not a Manning. He wasn't the highest one of the rivals top quarterback recruits of all time. Right? He wasn't projected to. Well, where is he going to go? Have a big ceremony to determine what school hat he was going to wear. He didn't have coaches drooling at his feet to have him come to their program, right? In a blink of an eye, he went from LSU quarterback, we'll see, to megastar. Looking it up, he started 13 games for LSU in 2019. They went 10-3, which in LSU Baton Rouge land, 10-3 might as well be 6-7, right? He threw for 2,800 yards, 16 touchdowns with 5 interceptions. Those are rather pedestrian for an LSU quarterback. 2019, they go 15-0 to win the national championship. He threw for 5,600 yards with 60 touchdowns and 6 picks. They win the national title. He wins the Heisman Trophy. He's the number one pick in the draft. He leads the Bengals to a Super Bowl after suffering an ACL injury his rookie season. They almost win that Super Bowl, and yesterday he became the highest paid player in the NFL. Now, I'm sorry, but the Robert Johnson selling his soul to the devil at the crossroads to be one of the greatest blues musicians of all time, this analogy works. If you don't know the story of Robert Johnson, blues guitarist, story was he went down and met Satan at the crossroads. Satan gave him a guitar, tuned the guitar, handed it to the young Robert Johnson, and Robert Johnson went on to have one of the more successful music careers of all time. He's considered the father of the blues. He's influenced artist after artist after artist, including Eric Clapton, including Paul McCartney. He's one of the Bob Dylan, Keith Richards, Robert Plant. They've all cited Robert Johnson as an inspiration for their music. Eric Clapton called him the most important blues singer that ever lived. Now, the story about Robert Johnson is nobody knew who he was. He couldn't play. He was in bars and joints and couldn't play a lick. People who knew him his whole life said he could not play the guitar. He had no musical gift whatsoever. That's the legend of Robert Johnson. Who is he? What is he? No, are you kidding me? He stinks. Goes to the crossroads, meets the devil, becomes what Eric Clapton said, the most important musical voice of his time, who ever lived. Joe Burrow. It's Joe Burrow. Where did Joe Burrow go to the crossroads? Ohio State can't crack it. Can't crack it. 10-3. 1 year at LSU. Pedestrian statistics. 60 touchdowns his second season. Everything is falling at this guy's feet. It's one of the most meteoric rise of any player I have seen that literally came from nowhere. It really is. It really is remarkable. Trevor Lawrence, we knew about Trevor Lawrence in high school, right? And yet Joe Burrow was a guy that people were like writing off, throwing away, didn't need. And then something clicked between the 2018 season at LSU and the 2019 season at LSU, where he not only was good, he was historically great. There are people who think that you will not find a quarterback in college football that will have a season like Joe Burrow ever again. Not Caleb Williams, not Drake May, not Sam Aller, not anybody. That Burrow will have a year like no one else in the history of college football. He might go down as having the greatest season by any college quarterback ever. No one's ever gone. No one had those kind of numbers and gone 15-0 and won the Heisman Trophy and won the national championship and was the number one overall pick in the draft. Awesome. Awesome story. It's really crazy. I'm going to take that all the way to the finish line. I'm going to make it stick.
I think, you know what? I don't think it's going to be hard. You're going to be using weak Elmer's glue to make that stick because it's going to stick.
I'm going to make it stick. People are going to go, I get it. But look it up. Read up around Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason I knew about this is actually I had a friend of mine in college, and he loved blues. He just loved the blues. And I got him the Robert Johnson collection on CD for Christmas.
No, I mean, this truly
is. And he
played
it constantly. And it was great music. But the story was even better. The Crossroads story. They made a movie about it with Ralph Macchio.
Oh, I thought you were going to say was Britney Spears, her movie Crossroads.
Oh, no. Yeah, Crossroads. Right. Yeah, they made a...
No, but Joe Burrow's story is pretty much a Disney movie.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, just from what you said earlier, it's like, you know, 2013, hey, no one knows me. I'm in this small little town in, you know, just north of Cincinnati, and no one knows me here. I can't get anyone to look at me. Fast forward to 10 years later, highest paid player ever in the NFL.
Highest paid player in the NFL. Exactly. So wild.
You know, making what, probably five times as much as his idol's Joe Montana.
Yeah.
I think I remember seeing that once.
That reminds me, by the way, that reminds me about something. I'm glad you brought that up.
All right.
Because Jahmyr Gibbs, they were talking about Jahmyr Gibbs last night. And they were saying how
he's
his
related
idol,
to Joe?
Yeah, they said his idol was Barry Sanders.
Okay,
he said when he said he grew up, he idolized Barry Sanders. But what's interesting about that is Barry Sanders stopped playing in the NFL in 1998, and Jahmyr Gibbs was not alive when Barry Sanders stopped playing football. And what I love about this is that we now live in an era where the greatness of players can live on in a new generation.
Yeah.
They have that much access to somebody's greatness. When I was a kid, my father would tell me that
we have guys born in like the year 2000 in the NFL, and I was like, oh my God, really?
I know, it's crazy. But it's great. When my father would tell me about Sandy Koufax, I had nothing as a youth to go by. Like I couldn't watch him throw a cutter. I couldn't watch him pitch a no-hitter. I couldn't watch Mickey Mantle hit a home run, except occasionally somebody like on a baseball thing would show a video of it. But you can grow up where
Mel
you can
Allen
play
would
a position.
Sometimes have an old video. Yeah,
you'd have somebody play a position, and you could say, hey, you know what, young man? You look like Barry Sanders. Who? He was a great running back for the Lions. And you can go home and get into a wormhole where you devour everything that man did, and he can become your idol even if you don't watch him play in real time. That's awesome. That really is awesome. Because it means some of the greats don't have to explain who they are to younger players. They don't have to remind players, young players, who they were. Young players can go to a Joe Montana and go, you were amazing. And they would know that not because my father told me you were amazing, but because I watched you be amazing, because I had access to everything you ever did.
Yep.
It's an awesome world we live in that technology.
Real quick, speaking on Barry Sanders, before the game, I guess he said he's also drinking the juice.
Of the Lions?
Of the Lions.
Should be. That was awesome. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.